The Other Side of the Glass is on.
Oh, my God.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final hour of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Sertl with you until 5 o'clock. Dylan Matthews comes your way then with the hometown take. Make sure you give me a follow on Twitter at CThomasRadio. Got a Twitter live space going right now. Appreciate everyone who's been popping in and out. Going to make that a regular part of the program moving forward. Also, give me a subscribe on YouTube, also at CThomasRadio. Live stream of the show going to be starting up next week. All right. Let's find out what our next guest has to think about Chipotle Gate, the Braves, and much more as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Miles Garrett, reporter and host for Fox 5 Sports. Miles, have you had enough yet? That's my question. Because this thing, it's good for us in the content game, but man, oh man, Kirk Cousins is going to fight and scratch and claw every inch until he gets out of here.
Yeah, no, I had to have Chipotle for lunch today just to get it off my mind. But it goes back to last off season, Chris, really, when you go back to him saying that he was talking to the Falcons with the whole tampering thing. Now it's a new thing with the, you know, potentially being spotted in Cleveland. Of course, none of this has been verified, but it goes without saying that he did respond to that tweet and, you know, he's talking about it. It's out in the open. So there's been rumors going around about whether or not he actually is going to be with the team or if he's actually seeking a trade post NFL draft to avoid another Michael Penix Jr. situation. I think it's all kind of unknown right now, but it's part of the conversation because, you know, the answer is still unresolved at this point. And I don't think we'll know about it until perhaps a move is actually made.
Do you think Cleveland eventually budges and moves off there? We're going to wait till you cut him stance. That seems to be their mantra, their MO before now?
You would think, but I think Cleveland's an interesting spot and certainly one that makes a lot of sense. But kind of going back to when Miles Garrett was signed there, the edge rusher, of course, you know, getting the new deal. They talked about the fact that, you know, what was a big part of you wanting to come back? You know, he had said he wanted to be traded. He said that he liked the plan they had at quarterback. Now, to me, that tells me that they're probably going to address that in the draft, whether that's Shedeur Sanders, you know, if Cam Ward falls to them, I doubt he does. But I wouldn't imagine that Kirk Cousins would fire up Miles Garrett like that. But at the same time, it would make a lot of sense to perhaps get a veteran like Kirk Cousins in there to perhaps start for a little bit before a guy like Shedeur Sanders finally takes over. I could see how that would be a scenario. But at the same time, I think we've seen that Kirk Cousins is not a big fan of that scenario. I think he wants to be go to a place where he is the starter at hand and avoid a situation, like I said earlier, where he goes to a team that drafts a rookie quarterback. So unfortunately for him, I think his options might be limited, especially with what Pittsburgh could be doing. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of where he is at this point in his career.
How much do you think they've improved their defense with the moves they've been able to make, bringing back guys like Mike Hughes and then inking Leonard Floyd to a decent contract as well?
Well, right now, I think it's tough to really say because the moves, I think Leonard Floyd obviously is really the newest big addition. But look, Leonard Floyd isn't exactly a spring chicken like he used to be. You know, he is a veteran in this league and has proven to have some pretty good sack numbers. But at the same time, you know, you are replacing different guys like Lorenzo Carter. Obviously, he wasn't exactly what you would hope for, was a pretty decent rusher for this team in years past. But I'm really interested to see what this team does post-NFL draft and see how they eventually add some guys there. And I imagine it's going to be 80 to 90% defensive players, seeing that's how they addressed it at the NFL Combine and how they've been appearing to scout some players as of late. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to go, but I think it's only fair to judge this after the NFL draft is concluded.
Speaking of the draft, do you think the more prudent move for them is to take the best edge available at 15 or to potentially trade down?
I think for them at this point, it could be to potentially trade down because you have some edge rushers that might be there for a second, but it might be a little bit something that you might have to wait and see because they obviously need to get some picks back due to what happened with the tampering charge with Kirk Cousins last year and just not having a lot of picks in general. You know, I could potentially see them grabbing a guy like Malachi Starks there if he falls into the 20 range. So it could be interesting to see what they do there because I know a lot of Falcons fans, they want to see another Georgia product there like Mykel Williams or Jalen Walker, if he falls in their lap, I doubt that he does, but I think that would be a dream scenario.
Any concern for you of the fact that they haven't actually addressed the center position yet?
Well, they seem to have a lot of faith in Ryan Neuzel, or Neuzel, excuse me, I might not be pronouncing his name correctly, but he came in spot duty last season, a couple games, and performed relatively well. I know they're going to miss the presence of Drew Dahlman, but whether or not they address that in the draft too, again, it was really weird how they seemed to scout the NFL combine. Like I said earlier, they really only had a bunch of defensive scouts instead of offensive scouts, really. So it was definitely an unorthodox way to look at it, but it appears they're going all defense. So they appear to be very comfortable with what they have at center.
Talking all things Atlanta sports, we'll get to some Braves here in just a second. Talking Falcons with our good buddy Miles Garrett. Make sure you give him a follow on socials, covering all the teams here in the A for Fox 5 Sports. All right, do you think that this – I've heard this from a couple. I saw it on ESPN last week, a couple other different outlets as well. Do you think the Falcons need another wide receiver?
Well, now with Rondale Moore gone, I would assume yes, they probably would. Now, they've got a good combo right now with Drake London and Darnell Mooney. I think that was proven last year. You know, whether or not Michael Penix Jr. has that same connection to a guy like Darnell Mooney, you know, it looks like he had a pretty good connection with Drake London those last few games that he started. But I'm sure you do feel a lot better if you add at least one more pass catcher in there that can be a true number three. I would certainly suspect them to address that before training camp starts. I don't know who that might be. You know, they may take a flyer on a free agent before training camp actually starts. You know, there's going to be cuts, of course, and they'll bring in guys like they've done just about every single year, and they end up being, I mean, again, we go back to Rondale Moore. He was a guy that was added right before training camp started last year before he ended up tearing his ACL. So these things can happen as soon as the season starts. It's just really a matter of when it actually is addressed.
Okay, let's switch over to the Braves now because I got a bunch of questions. 0-2 now out in San Diego. The bullpen blows a lead in the first one and gives up the go-ahead run in the second one, and maybe even more concerning because it was from a guy that you're going to be counting on a lot this season, Dylan Lee, to take a step up in later inning activity. What was your concern level before the season started about the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, and we talked about it in spring training when we were down there in Northport, was that, you know, your two biggest areas of concern is shortstop and the bullpen. And even Alex Anthopoulos mentioned that himself specifically as to, you know, where he thought the biggest holes on this team were, and he specifically mentioned the bullpen. And here we are, two games into the season, and the bullpen's already causing a little bit of struggle. Now, again, Reynaldo Lopez, I think there was a little bit of a concern with his velocity rate. It was a little bit lower than what it was last season. I'm sure he could potentially be an option to be moved there, but you know, this is a guy who was putting up all-star type numbers as a starting pitcher, so they're going to be relying on him to continue that role going into this year, especially with Spencer Strider still not back with the team yet. So they may have to end up grabbing another guy free agent or trade-wise from the bullpen, and it's something that Alex Anthopoulos has really addressed every single year he's been the general manager. I mean, you go back to 2021 when he added all that bullpen help that eventually got them to the World Series, you know, the night shift, as they were famously called. You know, they were, a lot of those guys were before the trade deadline, rather, those kind of acquisitions that he added to improve the bullpen because it just wasn't there before. So whether or not he does that again remains to be seen, but it is something that he's definitely going to have to address if, you know, the results from the first two games continue.
You mentioned shortstop, and Orlando Arcia made it all but one game before Nick Allen got a start. I didn't hear anything as to why that was, other than maybe just a matchup preference. I think he had some decent numbers against the starter, Dylan Cease, for the Padres yesterday. If I asked you, by the trade deadline, will they have a new starting shortstop, your answer would be what?
Ooh, I mean, again, it's only two games, so it's really tough. But, you know, we have to go off of a full season of what we saw last year from Orlando Arcia and really what we saw in spring training, which wasn't all that impressive. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it addressed, but I think we've seen before, Alex Anthopoulos is very patient with a lot of these guys. I mean, remember when there was a time when Marcell Ozuna was one of the coldest batters on the entire team and ended up taking it to another gear and turned in an all-star type performance, borderline MVP. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Orlando Arcia, but at the same time, he's shown that he's been very patient with a lot of these guys. But if those numbers from last year keep being more consistent, then he's going to have to make an adjustment before the trade deadline.
Do you expect the NL East to be a close three-team race the entire year between the Phillies, Mets, and Braves?
I would suspect so, just based on a talent perspective. You don't add all those guys like you are in New York and not try to be a playoff contender. I mean, before these guys even came last year, the Mets made a push last year that, you know, they only got better this year. I wouldn't suspect any different. And the Phillies are still the Phillies. They're a little bit older right now, but they still have that core that has made them so dangerous the past few years. So I suspect all three of them to be there when we're back in September, and we're hoping that we don't have another matchup in Philadelphia again for the playoffs.
I know that you also cover the Bulldogs from time to time as well. What have you made of Kirby's comments this offseason about how he's having a little bit of difficulty with some of the younger players in terms of coaching them hard and getting messaging through? You think this is a result of the social media age, the athlete empowerment age, or is this specific class just a little bit harder to coach?
I think it's the combination of the first two things you said. I mean, I think it's funny going back to a quote that Matthew Stafford had, at least from his wife, I think it was a couple of years ago, talking about how it's a little bit harder for him to relate to, you know, some of his new teammates because they're just that much younger than him at this point. And it's just a different generation. Whether or not Kirby Smart is too affected by that, I don't think he is, as a matter of, you know, when these guys are firmly in his program and learn from some of the older guys on the team that this is the way things operate. And obviously his track record proves that with the amount of NFL talent and national championships he already has under his belt. So I wouldn't suspect this to be a problem for Kirby Smart, but I do think it is definitely a reflection of just the new generation. I mean, things are changing in college football, and so are the athletes.
I don't know if pressure is the right word, but maybe expectations for Gunnar Stockton to come right in and, you know, be the heir apparent to Carson Beck and Stetson Bennett before him. Everything you hear from Kirby, he loves his attitude, he loves his leadership. It may not be vocal and rah-rah, but do you feel like Gunnar's going to come in and have a seamless transition?
I would suspect that there'll be a quarterback competition, no doubt, with Ryan Puglisi. He's a very talented quarterback that has a lot of potential in this Mike Bobo offense. But I would suspect this to be Gunnar Stockton's team, at least for the time being, just because of his knowledge of the playbook. Kirby Smart and Bobo both place a lot of emphasis on that, just having that seasoned person who understands the system, understands how things operate there. Gunnar Stockton obviously has been there for a while now and has a lot of connections with Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo dating back to his high school days up there in North Georgia. So they're very familiar with him. They know how he operates. His teammates certainly love him. You know, they added some good quotes there when he was throwing to his guys in Athens for their pro day. But I would suspect that it would be a good transition. It's just a matter of if he can take that next step and make them a competitive team for the national championship again, because we only got a short glimpse of it in the college football playoff against Notre Dame. But from what we saw, for a guy making his first career start, that wasn't so bad.
All right, Miles, appreciate the time. As always, we'll make sure to check you out on Fox 5.